Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Teaching union annual conferences, which, as you know, are getting underway literally as we speak, with the build-up to them now having centred on last week's change to the vaccine rollout to move to an age-based system. Emergency motions on the vaccine priority list may call for a ballot to be held on strike action if the rollout is not reversed. In a moment, I'm going to be speaking to Carl O'Brien, Irish Times education editor. But first, I'm joined by Liz Farrell, a second-level teacher in Colaisha Owen in Hackettstown County. Carla, who, who's also Vice President of the Teachers Union of Ireland. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Very good. Tell me about your work environment. What's it like? How much distance can you achieve from pupils? How well ventilated are the classrooms?
Well, I think what we have done is we have what we would call a very controlled environment in that we have maintained the social distancing. However, we still have classes of 24. What's happening is the windows are open. That's our ventilation, which will be fine when we return to school on the 12th of April because we will have lots of airflow and the weather has improved. So the students won't be frozen. And we have
not on
masks.
A day like today. I shudder to think what the school's heating bill is going to be at the end of the year.
I'm sure it's going to be a huge surprise to some people, but yeah, these are the things that we have to do. I suppose the factors are there and all the mitigation factors have been put in place, but it's the dynamic that has altered, kind of, and that's what I think teachers are finding difficult and so are students.
What do you mean the dynamic?
So, because there is no interaction, because there is no movement, because we are wearing masks, and I think everybody has adjusted and everybody has done their best to sort of engage people and but the interaction, even with the sixth years and the fifth years when we returned before the Easter break, it's very difficult. The students are finding it difficult. It's difficult to understand, to hear, to read facial expressions, to know whether you're getting through to them. These are issues that we're all facing. But I think both students and communities and schools and principals and teachers have done a tremendous job.
I never thought of that before. You could be looking at a sea of either very engaged faces or kids that are half asleep and you would really have no way of telling the difference because of the masks.
Yeah, it's very difficult to know if they're actually engaging with you and if they're getting the nuance of what you're, I suppose, explaining or trying to impart to them at that time.
When everybody else, all of the other years, come back, are you worried about what ends up happening in corridors and other spaces outside of classrooms?
I think that's a difficulty. I think the worry is that, like, we would serve a cohort where a very rural environment, but they're coming on buses from possibly 12 different villages, right, throughout sort of Carlow and Wicklow. And when they arrive into school and they hand sanitize and they do everything that they're required to do and they are behaving incredibly well, but with the return of the good weather, I think we're going to have huge worries between movement in classes, but also at lunchtimes. So people will be outside and hopefully, you know, the weather will be good enough that they can go outside and may possibly and will, I'm sure, socially distance. But the problem is when they return into the classroom, when there is that level of movement, we're worried about those kids going home and possibly spreading the virus to their vulnerable adults in their homes and their communities.
How did you feel on a personal level, Liz, when you went from being a vaccination priority to, well, just the same as the rest of us?
I think it is one of those issues that is that makes you, I suppose, sit back and think. First of all, it was disappointment with the manner in which the announcement was made. But I also, you know, I mean, we have been told all along through this pandemic that we are the stakeholders and that we, you know, our voice. And then for something like this to just change, sort of, you know, well, it definitely alters the dynamic between our engagement and sort of how we feel valued within the spectrum. But besides that, I suppose...
Was there a kind of an implied quid pro quo there? Is that what you're saying? We will take these risks, we will go back into the classroom, but you have to take good care of us.
Well, we had been told that. I don't think we asked for that. We had absolutely been told that we would be vaccinated within the 30%, because the government had maintained all throughout the pandemic that their primary objective was to get students back to school. And to be fair, we wanted to go back to school, and we still want to be in school. But I think the difficulty arises with the suggestion that possibly, you know, I mean, what I think people want is to see that within that last cohort, that we are looked after. I mean, we're being told that this is being rolled out for efficiency reasons. Now, I know there is science behind it, but also there's the science when you look at the WHO and the UN and what they're saying that's contrary to the science that we've been given. But besides that, I think the word is efficiency. So are we doing this for efficiency, that it's easier to do, but have we questioned the efficacy of what they're doing?
Okay. So where does this go, do you think, in the conference now? Do you see members being sufficiently aggravated about what they might feel of as a breaking of a promise that they would take industrial action?
I don't know how the members will feel. I genuinely don't. I think what I've heard is that there's huge disappointment. There is dismay. I think teachers have worked, and done everything they can do to maintain a continuity of learning, even when they couldn't physically be in schools. So I think the manner in which this was done, the manner in which the announcement was made, will make people question, yes, yeah, whether they will consider.
The thing is, I mean, when you're practical about it, though, and you say, even if you did manage to vaccinate each and every single teacher in the country today, and then you wait 3 weeks, presuming that they get a Pfizer or a Moderna jab, you wait 3 weeks before giving them their second dose, that's the beginning of May, and then 2 weeks after that would be when they would get whatever immunity they were going to get from the vaccination. By which stage, you're only 2 weeks away from the end of the secondary school year.
Yeah, I do understand that. But I also know that we have to run a leaving cert this year. And we're currently prepping for a parallel process, an accredited grade system and a leaving cert. I mean, teachers are involved in every aspect of that. We also have some TUI teachers who are teaching in special schools. We have special classes. We have our SNAs who are working in very close contact with the most vulnerable students, who will also be supplying July provision. We are talking about catch-up programmes for those who have been most disadvantaged by the pandemic. So I think it is worth querying. It is worth suggesting, and it is worth looking at. And I mean, there is time to sort of look at. And I go back to what I said earlier, look at, is this being done for efficiency reasons or efficacy reasons? And look at the suggestion that teachers who will be in contact with over 250 students in a day, whether they should be vaccinated in tandem with those people in cohort 9 in a quicker way, but knowing that this is the most effective way to do things to protect the most vulnerable.
Fair enough, you said to me that you don't know yet or haven't gotten a read on what membership's feeling is on this. I was listening to Kieran Christie of the ASTI on Morning Ireland earlier on, and he didn't rule out industrial action. On a personal level, as Vice President of the TUI, do you think that industrial action would solve anything?
On a personal level, I think that secondary teachers like myself are going to wait to see what the membership are have to say about this. But I also think, yeah, the priority is that we have to look after our leaving cert. And we will be working and getting them through to the end of this school year. So, I mean, the industrial action is a word that seems to be bandied about, and it's sprung upon by many people in the media, and I'm certainly not saying you're doing that, but, you know, there are elements to industrial action, and it is up to and including strike action before anything is suggested other than a walkout on our students.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks very much. Liz Farrell, TUI Vice President from Cláiste Éireann in Hackettstown. Also on the line now, Irish Times Education Editor Carl O'Brien. Liz didn't want to get ahead of the membership there until she's actually heard from them, Carl, but what are you hearing from them about, not just in the TUI, but all of the teachers' unions, about this reversal of vaccination policy?
Yeah, well, all the three teacher unions now are saying that there is anger among the members, that there is frustration, as you've heard there. Now, as to the real depth of that, you know, it's hard to tell because there is a lot of rhetoric, you know, a teacher conference season when each union almost tries to outdo the other in terms of flexing its muscles on behalf of the membership. So we'll get a sense, I think, as the conference takes place as to what real level of anger and frustration there is among ordinary members. What we do know is that all three unions are looking set to debate emergency motions tomorrow, and they will most likely seek ballots for industrial action within weeks unless members are given a higher priority for vaccination. Now, certain unions aren't being drawn yet on the precise wording of those motions. They are certainly looking to try to facilitate a joint motion. But what we do know is this, that whatever happens, any action will not affect the return to school on April 12th. Certainly, I think at primary level, at worst, it could potentially disrupt the current academic year between now and the end of June. But at second level, as you've heard, there is a real reluctance to interfere with the Leaving Cert. So it remains to be seen, you know, what kind of threatened industrial action might take place. For example, might that be in the resumption of school in the new school year in September? Or could there be a lesser form of industrial action that could happen in the meantime? I think that all remains to be seen.
And can they do that, Carl? I mean, how long does it usually take them to actually ballot all members, validate a result, and then give the state or the Department of Education 2 weeks' notice of their action?
It typically takes about a month to organise a ballot to get the results back. So really, time is not on the side.
So six or seven weeks before the end of the academic year anyway. And, you know, what point would be being made, are they saying, by taking action in September, by which point, all things being equal, everybody's going to be, the vast majority of adults are going to be vaccinated anyway?
Yeah, it's a dilemma, particularly at second level. I think certainly talking to union leadership, they really want to ensure that at second level, all teachers are fully vaccinated before they enter the classroom in late August or early September. So certainly under the old vaccination schedule, that would certainly have been accomplished. Under the new schedule, there isn't a guarantee that will happen, and who knows how long it will take, you know, to get towards, you know, teachers in their 20s, for example. And I know certainly statistically, we have one of the younger teaching workforces in European terms. So certainly on an age-based level, it could take quite a while to get to those younger teachers. But certainly time isn't on the side of the unions in terms of using industrial action as a bargaining chip in this regard.
Teacher sentiment is obviously never driven by just one thing. How strong a sense do you have that there is a mix of different things in teachers' minds here, particularly the different pay grades remuneration scales for teachers now?
Yeah, so the vaccine policy issue is that it's just one issue. There's lots of other issues going to be dominating the teacher conferences. So pay inequality is one, and it's been around for about a decade now, and this all stems back to austerity era pay scales where new entrants were put on lower pay scales. Now, a lot of that gap has been bridged, but it hasn't been fully bridged, particularly at second level. So secondary teachers would argue that those new recruits, if you like, or new entrants, would still face career losses of anywhere in the region of €80,000. So that's still a big issue, particularly at second level. I think another issue we'll hear a lot about it is investment in education. So the latest figures show that, you know, we lag behind other industrialized countries when it comes to investing in the system. We still have schools propped up by voluntary contributions. Many schools say they're struggling, you know, to even get money for basics. That would be an issue, and class sizes as well is a long-standing issue. We have some of the largest classes in Europe, so that will certainly be a big issue. And of course, COVID-19 safety measures. Many are looking for better ventilation, air quality monitors and more investment in those kind of mitigation measures.
Carl, thank you very much. All of your texts on 51551 relate to vaccinations and teachers, though. Teachers are currently on 2 weeks' holidays. In 6 weeks, they will be on 3 months' holidays. To vaccinate teachers now is a waste of scarce resources. They should be done in the summer for September. Another reads, the level of teacher bashing is awful. They are risking their lives going into environments, exposing themselves to 30-plus bubbles in classrooms and 20-plus in the staff rooms. Many have underlying illnesses and are living with vulnerable family members. It's like the latter don't exist when it comes to teachers. And then, industrial action for what? Asks another texter, what are the risk assessments? Where is the evidence that putting teachers at this is increased risk? Other parts of the workforce, such as creche workers, childcare workers, essential factory workers, are waiting based on their age, which is fair and the most efficient. 51551, as I say, for those texts.